You come, and we're going to have a tag team tonight, a father-son tag team. So when he gets done, he has to go back to his dad and high five, and then his dad will finish up. Aren't you glad what God's done? When I first came, Doug he would come occasionally, but his heart wasn't surrendered. He would tell you that. But God has wonderfully gotten a hold of him, and we're just anxious to hear what the Lord's doing for you.
Thank you. So today I want to talk about obedience and how important that is. I've discovered to living a Christ-centered life, which is what I'm attempting to do now. The last time I spoke a couple weeks ago, I talked about. I have some notes that I've been keeping at home as I study, and I make notes. When I go to church or I hear a sermon or I'm reading the Bible, certain themes strike a chord with me, and I'll write about it. And I talked about divided loyalties last time, and the notes, they've kind of kept going, and I've added to them, and I think they're what I need to hear, or what I need to dwell on, what I need, what the Spirit's talking to me about. I kind of feel like, well, if I need to tell you something, I have to tell you what I'm hearing, right? Because that's what I need to be dwelling on and thinking about and studying. So, and I don't feel like I really have the foundation yet to come up and kind of, instruct you or tell you something. So, I can't do that. But I can share with you what I've been studying about and reading about. And I think I get probably more out of this than anyone else, but that's okay. I think everybody knows I was in a pretty desperate place about a year ago when, Pastor alluded to my heart wasn't in it. Up until that point, that's right. But things happened in life, and I knew that I needed Jesus to rescue me. And I knew the only way for me to get through it would be if I drew my strength from the Lord. And I knew that that meant a real surrender that I would have to make, and a full surrender of my life. And I didn't want anything to be fake. I didn't want to, to do anything less than a full surrender, because I didn't get a fake deliverance. So I needed real peace and real comfort, and I had to make a real change. So surrendering is something that, I had always thought I would do later in life, and it ended up happening, now, which is great. I should have done it a long time ago. But now I'm ready, and I have had a lot of emotions and confusion that I needed help with, and, studying and searching the Word has been a great help for me. So as I'm doing that, I'm looking for how to do things the right way and how to draw closer to God. And God's been speaking to me about my priorities and about, my obsession, which I talked about a little bit last time I spoke. I've come across things that, say like, well, what dominates your thoughts more than anything? And, I've told you my loyalties were divided. And, I'm coming back to the Lord and letting my passion, at the time for duck hunting was like a welcome distraction for me. It was helpful for me. But we serve a jealous God, and I don't think he wants me to say that got me through anything or, has... That's not really, I think, where my focus needs to be. So, and I want to be obedient and do, what I felt led to do. So that's, that's my plan. And after I accepted that that's something that I was going to do, Pastor mentioned in after one of the sermons that he, believed that I had been called to teach scriptures. And so I accepted that too and want to be obedient. So I'll do my best. By my nature, though, I would say I classify myself as a pretty selfish person, and unbelievably selfish, really, naturally, I think. But I had a good upbringing and taught me, right from wrong, and I had, I have a conscience to deal with, so that kind of helps me from being too selfish. But for like those of us that were at John's funeral yesterday, we heard what a selfless man he was, and I'm not. And I saw, he was talking about, there was a story that talked about how he saved all these catfish and, brought them over from one place to another to save their lives, and I wouldn't have done that. I would have got cornmeal. But But, you know, that's who he was, and he was an amazing man. But, you know, and I felt like when I came back to the Lord, I wanted God to flip a switch in me and make everything change in me, make me different. Like, I was ready now. Okay, now let's make this happen and make me change. But I realized that that's not really the way it was going to work. And I had to repeatedly surrender myself. And it grew frustrating at times because I wanted something to happen faster. And I kind of felt like, hey, I've done my part here now, you know. Now, you, like, God owes me something. But I was getting exactly what I needed, and that was to be humbled. And I realized that I owe God everything, actually. And, you know, it's not the other way around. So God already bought my salvation at the price of allowing his son to die a horrible death. And, you know, I do believe that I am changed, and God has helped me and delivered me from a sinful lifestyle. But myself is still as selfish as ever. So I have to work on, you know, continually drawing strength from the Lord and keep surrendering. And I've realized that that's actually a good thing, and it's helping me. And it's probably the better way to do it than just to have an immediate change or, you know, something maybe. But I keep going back to certain books in the Bible and certain passages that have helped me. And James has been a real encouragement to me. I've read it a few times. There's a lot there on profiting from trials and humbling ourselves. And I think Pastor quoted it this morning. Said, if you draw, you know, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that's all of James has really been really helpful, but that's one passage that he mentioned this morning, and it's, you know, I knew where it was from because I've been reading that. You know, and I've been looking for direction in searching for God and tell me what to do. You know, give me directions that I can follow to make everything better and keep me on the right path. But that's not exactly the way it works either. So at least it hasn't been my experience. So, but I think we have a lot of direction if we study the Bible. I mean, there's a lot in here about how to live our lives and keep searching. So in addition to the regular daily prayer, which I've added to my life, and reading the Bible, it's been a huge help. It's interesting to me for the first time ever. I tried to read the Bible years ago, and if your heart's not in it, it's just not, maybe it didn't capture me and my attention at that time. So, but now it has, and I see a lot of stories about obedience when I'm reading through the Bible, and they're resonating with me as I, you know, I pick up on things and I put them in my notes, and I realize I need to be obedient, and I kind of feel like somebody who, you know, gets in big trouble and then gets some grace that they didn't deserve, and now you have to kind of be on your best behavior. That's how I feel like I am right now. So, you know, I want to be on my best behavior, and that's, you know, I feel like I've been blessed, and now I need to do my part and be obedient. So there are certain passages that I've come across when I'm reading, and mostly in the New Testament, and I've kind of struggled with some of them. And, you know, I'll probably, maybe, you know, sometime I can expand on that, but I think the devil uses some of these scriptures to confuse me when I read them, and I'll get a little bit discouraged and think, you know, they'll make you believe, if you misinterpret them, probably that you're beyond saving and that, you know, you're not able to be saved. But I don't believe that. But there has been fear as I'm studying a couple times, and, you know, I hate that. I hate to get discouraged when I'm reading the Bible, and it makes, you know, and then how did that happen? And I'll think of the devil is doing that. I hate the devil. And Skip says that a lot. I hate the devil, and I like that because I think it's good to say that. Makes me feel good. So anyway, one night I had come across in reading, you know, I came across a scripture that was it was difficult for me, and I went to sleep, and as I'm falling asleep, I actually was woken up with a scripture. Read Psalms 118 is what I had heard, and I'm falling asleep, kind of like in a dream, I guess. And I thought, okay, well, I woke up and I turned my light on, and I flipped to Psalms 1. And Psalms 1 is only like six verses long, so there is no 118. So let me find it. Short. So I read Psalms 1, oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked or stand around with sinners or join in with mockers. But they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating on it by day and night. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do, but not the wicked. They are like worthless chaff scattered by the wind. They will be condemned at the time of judgment. Sinners will have no place among the godly, for the Lord watches over the path of the godly, but the path of the wicked leads to destruction. And I read that, and I felt some encouragement there, but it didn't have, there was no 18. You know, there's no, where's the 18? And what I was hearing was read Psalms 118. So I read that, and then I thought, okay, well, maybe it's 18. And then when you look at Psalms 18, I won't read the whole thing because it's pretty lengthy, but there's some words of definite encouragement in there that helped me when I heard them, when I read them. Like, I'll just kind of pick out a couple. I called on the Lord who is worthy of praise, and he saved me from my enemies. The ropes of death entangled me. Floods of destruction swept over me. The grave wrapped its ropes around me. Death laid a trap in my path. But in my distress, I called out to the Lord. Yes, I prayed to my God for help. He heard me from his sanctuary. My cry to him reached his ears. And then a little bit later, it says, he reached down from heaven and rescued me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemies, from those who hated me and were too strong for me. And there's I think there were a few more really good verses in that one. And then I read 118, Psalms 118, and I want to read that. Psalms 118 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. Let all Israel repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let Aaron's descendants, the priests, repeat, his faithful love endures forever. Let all who fear the Lord repeat, his faithful love endures forever. In my distress, I prayed to the Lord, and the Lord answered me and set me free. The Lord is for me, so I will have no fear. What can mere people do to me? Yes, the Lord is for me. He will help me. I will look in triumph at those who hate me. It is better to take refuge in the Lord than trust in people. It's better to take refuge in the Lord than to trust in princes. Though hostile nations surround me, I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. Yes, they surrounded and attacked me, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. They swarmed around me like bees and blazed against me like a crackling fire, but I destroyed them all with the authority of the Lord. My enemies did their best to kill me, but the Lord rescued me. The Lord is my strength and my song. He has given me victory. Songs of joy and victory are sung in the camp of the godly. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. The strong right arm of the Lord is raised in triumph. The strong right arm of the Lord has done glorious things. I will not die. Instead, I will live to tell what the Lord has done. The Lord has punished me severely, but he did not let me die. Open for me the gates where the righteous enter, and I will go in and thank the Lord. These gates lead to the presence of the Lord, and the godly enter there. I thank you for answering my prayer and giving me victory. The stone that the builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. This is the Lord's doing and is wonderful to see. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Praise the Lord. Please, Lord, please save us. Please, Lord, please give us success. Bless the ones who come in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord is God shining upon us. Take the sacrifice and bind it with cords on the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His faithful love endures forever. And I think that's what I needed to hear that time. So I didn't have any more doubts, really, after reading that, because that popped into my head out of nowhere, you know, and it was pretty relevant to what I was feeling in my heart. It was what I needed to hear. So I had an experience that I think, gave me faith. And I took the doubts that I was starting to get out of my life, you know, out of my thoughts. And Jesus didn't give us anything less than a real salvation. So it's not something to doubt. I feel, you know, that's the way I should feel. So how do I live a totally yielded life? I have to be obedient. And I can't live with myself if I don't try to do that at this point. So I have to be prepared to do things I don't really want to do. And it reminded me when Skip and when the Kincaids were here, Darcy came up and she sang a couple songs on Sunday morning. And she said she really wanted to sing one, but felt led to sing two. And it was putting her out of her comfort zone because she said she had to play it and she wasn't really She hadn't done it before, I think she said. So, you know, and we don't know, I don't know if, you know, God had her sing that other song because it was going to bless somebody or because it was blessing her to be obedient and actually do something that wasn't in her comfort zone. I don't know, but maybe it's both. And I think, you know, when you look at the Bible, there's so many stories of obedience. I mean, it's full of, the Bible's about obedience, a lot of it. So after reading through the New Testament, I started in the Old Testament, and I, you know, started in Genesis, and I've read through Leviticus now. I finished it yesterday. So you start with Adam and Eve, and, you know, they didn't obey a commandment that they knew was the, you know, they were, had been warned if they ate this forbidden fruit, there would be death for them, and they did. But there's a lot of, you know, other stories like Noah. He was obedient. He built an ark when there was no water. Abraham and Isaac is one of my favorites to read about because Abraham had faith enough to be obedient and was prepared to sacrifice his beloved son that, you know, he didn't think he would ever have. And I listened, you know, this morning, the pastor was actually giving a lot of examples on experiences that were some of the same examples that I was already, you know, prepared to talk about. So I thought that was pretty interesting. But I think in order for these guys to have these experiences, they had to be obedient. And because they were obedient, they had these experiences. And so to me, it felt like a connection. And when I read tonight or each night to Jacob when he's with me, I read him stories from a children's Bible. He's got a few of them. Yeah, and a few, they're really actually great books. I mean, they're very interesting, and I get a lot out of them myself. And one of the favorite ones that I read him, it's called the Jesus Storybook Bible, and Audrey and Don gave it to him, I think, for his birthday. And each story that it tells at the end, it makes a connection to Jesus and tells, even though, you know, these are Old Testament stories, it'll make a connection about something about Jesus. And in this one, it's when it's talking about Isaac, It says many years later, another son would climb another hill carrying wood on his back. Like Isaac, he would trust his father and do what his father asked. And it's, you know, a metaphor for Jesus carrying the cross, and it's Isaac had to carry the wood that he was going to, you know, be sacrificed on. And it was a touching story. Anyway, that's a good book to get for adults too. Another example I have come across was with Moses, who didn't initially want to answer his calling. He was reluctant and argued that he wasn't a good enough speaker. And I know Pastor mentioned this too a couple weeks ago, and how he was given Aaron to be a spokesman and who became the high priest. And I noticed in that, you know, in the story where the Israelites were fleeing Egypt and Pharaoh's army is after them, God commanded Moses to raise his staff over the water, to open the water, and again to close the water. Moses had to raise his staff. And I thought that was interesting because Moses, it wasn't his idea to part the water, and God didn't need him to do anything to make that happen. But it didn't happen until Moses raised his staff up, and then it happened. So he had to be obedient. And Moses had told the Israelites to watch the Lord rescue them that day. And once they were safe, the Bible says, I think it's Exodus 14, when the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. They put their faith in the Lord and his servant Moses. But that faith, it didn't hold them for very long. They moved around and they were camping in Rephidim, it says, and there was no water. And they were complaining to Moses, "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? Are you trying to kill us of thirst?" And you know, God instructs Moses again to use his staff and strike a rock, and water will come out. You know, again, it's not his idea, but he's obedient, and he hits the rock, and water comes out, and it's what, you know, they needed the water. So God uses the staff of Moses many times, I think, to get obedience for his commands from Moses. And there were times when it was heavy for Moses to hold that staff up, but he was commanded to do it, and he had to have help holding it up, and he still held it up. There are many commandments, and, you know, reading through the Old Testament, I was just kind of making my way through it, but there are so many chapters and chapters of instructions in Exodus and Leviticus, and it's very detailed instructions about building the tabernacle, how to present sacrifices and offerings. And, you know, I read through that, just I'm thinking, well, this is so in-depth. There's so much, you know, so many specific details that have to be followed in these sacrifices. Why is that? You know, why doesn't God just say, bring an animal and burn it? But that's not the instruction. It's very detailed. These procedures had to be followed. And, you know, my Bible even has a chart showing the different types of sacrifices, what they were for, when you would use which ones. And even with that chart, it's kind of a lot because some of them are sort of similar and they'll combine two or three at a time. And, you know, there's a lot to this. But while the people are learning this and understanding, and the Israelites are building their tabernacle and following these instructions, they get to witness the glory of the Lord like we don't get to see. So they were following all these rules that we don't exactly have to follow, but they also got this presence that we don't necessarily see like they did. And I wanted to read a little bit of a couple scriptures from Leviticus that it's 9:22. And it says, after that, Aaron raised his hands toward the people and blessed them. Then after presenting the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the peace offering, he stepped down from the altar. Then Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle, and when they came back out, they blessed the people again, and the glory of the Lord appeared to the whole community. Fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and consumed the burnt offerings and the fat on the altar. When the people saw this, they shouted with joy and fell face down on the ground. And I just read that and was kind of, I took a break from reading and I thought, just thinking about that, reflecting on how amazing that had to be for these people to see something like that and witness it. I mean, that's an experience. But then I read on. Okay, that's a very amazing thing. And then the very next chapter, it starts off in 10. Aaron's sons Nadab and Abihu put coals of fire in their incense burners and sprinkled incense over them. In this way, they disobeyed the Lord, and by burning offering before him the wrong kind of fire, different than he commanded. So fire blazed forth from the Lord's presence and burned them up, and they died there before the Lord. So that's, they didn't follow, they weren't obedient. They didn't follow the right instruction or the full instruction. So they had all this detail, and they didn't follow it. And there were consequences for that. In my Bible, generally at home, I'm reading the New Living Translation that I have up here with me, and it has some commentary, and it says about this fire, because I tried to understand what does this wrong kind of fire mean. It wasn't very clear to me, I think, exactly. I mean, I don't know the details around what they did wrong. I know they didn't follow their instructions, but the fire, the commentary said that, talking about this fire, that it was used for glory elsewhere, but here it's used to indicate Aaron's son's careless approach to worshiping God. And the sons didn't have the proper reverence for the holiness of God, and the result of that disobedience was their immediate death. And, I don't believe that God will kill us today like where we stand if we don't obey him, but, I don't want to take a chance. Yeah, I can't say he won't. And there's one other example I wanted to just mention that, in reading through the Bible about God using Ananias to heal Saul's blindness. And Ananias doesn't necessarily, I'll just read it because it makes more sense probably that way. But it's Acts 9:11 through 19. The Lord said, go over to Straight Street to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now. I have shown him the vision of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so he can see again. But Lord, exclaimed Ananias, I have heard many people talk about this, the terrible things this man has done to the believers in Jerusalem, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest anyone who calls upon your name. But the Lord said, go, for Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message to the Gentiles and to kings as well as to the people of Israel, and I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake. So like Moses, Ananias was reluctant at first to follow what he was instructed to do, but he did, and Paul went on to bring the gospel to the world. And, I don't think God had plans for Paul anyway, but he didn't start putting that into place until Ananias did his part and was obedient. So, I was kind of thinking, okay, now I've got some examples here, but maybe you don't feel like you have the same kind of instruction to be obedient about as maybe I've had or some of these examples, but I think we all have plenty of instruction when we look at the Bible on where to be obedient. I mean, it's full of divine instructions and commandments to obey and understand. And I think as we all draw closer and are having experiences, we'll have a lot of opportunities to be obedient. And if you can't think of one, I mean, to love is the chief commandment. And it's one that I've had to work on. So it's definitely, it's something important. We're instructed to love our neighbors and love our enemies. So it can be difficult. And we're studying Philippians in Bible study on Wednesday nights. And we read Philippians 1:6. And I'm certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it's finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. That's Paul saying, and many of us, I think we took encouragement. We all commented on that, or some did, about this passage. And the pastor said something that stuck with me about how this can apply to other people too. And we have to realize that God's work is not completed in others as well. So, if you're taking issue with somebody, they're God's creation too, and they're created in God's image and an unfinished work. So, he said to especially, not question the motives of others, because we can be way off when we make our assumptions, and we should pray for them and realize that God is working on them. We shouldn't judge. And James deals with this too a lot when you read James. It's not our job to be judging, it's our job to be obedient. And the last part I wanted to talk about was with Revelations and John. I just wanted to read the very beginning of Revelations. Just Revelations 1. This is a revelation from Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servant the events that must soon take place. He sent an angel to present this revelation to his servant John, who faithfully reported everything he saw. This is his report of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. God blesses the one who reads the word of his prophecy to the church, and he blesses all who listen to its message and obey what it says, for the time is near. So from the beginning of the end of the Bible, I know there's a lot in here about obedience, and it's, I think it was the only thing I could really think of to talk about, because it's what I need to be focused on. And I need to be blessed, and I need more intimacy with the Lord, and I know I need to be obedient to get there. So that's what I wanted to talk about.
It's been said I'd rather see a sermon than hear one. With Doug, you get both. Just before Brother Jim comes, I just want you to be aware of what just happened. In the book of Corinthians, it says, speaking of the need of the body of Christ, and if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And we know where one body part cannot say, because I'm not that, I'm not needed, or the other's not needed, that all is needed. I want you to imagine you're going down a railroad track, and as you're heading down, you feel safe. Because your eyes, you're the eye. And you don't see anything ahead. You don't see any danger. Everything's fine. But your ears hear a roar. And your feet hear a vibration. And it says, you better get off the railroad track. If you just listen to the eye and you say, eye, do you see anything? The eye says, no, I don't see nothing. How many know you ought to listen to your ears? And not everybody in the body of Christ has it all. We need one another. And we need every part. We need our Dougs. Jonathan, you're up next Sunday night. We need everybody doing their job. So, Brother Jim, he was supposed to go back and high-five his dad like wrestlers. Oh, he did? Okay, Brother Jim.
I'll be very brief, probably briefer than you've ever heard me be.
Let me just say, this is the father of the son, who I'm sure his buttons were popping.
Yes, and I don't have a T-shirt, so don't look. No, I'm real proud of Doug, and I'm thankful that the Lord has touched him. And I appreciate my two sons, and I appreciate their families. This morning when the kids were standing up here, I said, boy, those are somebody's grandkids. All of them are grandkids. And then the Lord kind of reminded me, yeah, but the kids are here too. And so I appreciate those kids that helped us to get to the grandkids. And Doug did a great job, and obedience is so important. Part of what he read talked about the people saw what God was doing, and they shouted and bowed before the Lord. In the last days, we're going to have happy days. The last days, there will be happy days. We're living in the last days. All we need to do is make sure we're happy, right? There's the old adage that the song, "Don't worry, be happy." If we're going to be happy, we're going to have a reason for happiness. In the book of Acts, chapter 2, verses 16 through 21. Acts chapter 2, it's a well-known scripture. It's prophecy actually from the book of Joel. And that's what verse 16 says. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel, and it shall come to pass that in the last days, says God, I will pour out. I want you to really hear that. I will pour out of my spirit, or I'll pour out of my spirit on all flesh. Get that? All flesh. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, your old men shall dream dreams, and on my men servants and maid servants, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they shall prophesy. I will show wonders in heaven above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the coming and of the great and awesome day of the Lord. And it shall come to pass that whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me just read this in the Amplified of the word prophecy. Kind of the breaking down of that is telling forth the divine counsels and of visions, divinely granted appearances, and of dreams, divinely suggested dreams. We all have dreams, right? Most everybody has dreams. I've heard people try to spiritualize almost every kind of a dream imaginable. I think sometimes you just need to leave it alone. If God's going to speak to you, He'll let you know, right? Don't try to make something spiritual out of every dream, but God will give us dreams, and God will give us visions, and we will prophesy, which is a supernatural utterance. That's not what we've studied, not what we've prepared, not what we've been thinking about, but something altogether different from that, right? And then the scripture says, and it shall come, it shall be that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, invoking, adoring, and worshiping the Lord Christ, shall be saved. So in the last days, we're going to see all the prophecy, the dreaming of dreams, and the seeing of vision, and everyone who serves the Lord, men, women, boys and girls, everybody can be used. Someone told Sister Melva she's too old to fast or something. I think I heard that this morning. You're not too old to do anything for the Lord, because the Lord will bless us. But I would like us to understand the outpouring of the Holy Spirit will get us ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if anything makes us happy, that ought to make us happy. Are you happy about the Lord coming again? He's coming again. So we need to raise the praise level. We need to dance in the Spirit. Brother Connor threatened this morning. If Virginia had come, he'd dance. You know what? We're going to see dancing in the church. And we need to rejoice and again rejoice and again rejoice and again rejoice. Psalms 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I think that what we need to understand is these last days are days of rejoicing. Now look, I'm not saying everything's going to be wonderful in your life. That probably will never happen. But we need to rejoice and again rejoice and rejoice because Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. I used to be so scared to death watching those Disney movies in the theater because I thought if the Lord come, I'm going to be left. And boy, there's a lot worse things that people see today and seem to have no concern. But we need to begin to look for the Lord Jesus Christ. He's coming again. The old song says, it may be evening, it may be morning, maybe night or noon, but I know he's coming soon. There you go.
Would you stand, please? We have a business meeting to follow. And we want to welcome every visitor and pray the Lord has blessed you. And if you're looking for a church, this is a good one. Amen. Father, we thank you for everything we've heard. We recognize the need for every person. Everybody has a place in the house of God. May we recognize, may we extend that. May your blessings be on your people in Christ's name. Amen. We're going to take about a 5-minute break and let you fellowship, and then we'll get started in about 5 minutes.